On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Locked On Broncos, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and I'm very excited to be joining you here tonight once again to bring you the latest news, analysis, and coverage of your Denver Broncos, whether you're in the Mile High City or you're across the pond in England. If you're stuck in that morning commute with the traffic trying to get to your work, or if you're at that 2 o'clock feeling at your job, or you're on your way home from a long day and you just want to hear sports coverage, I hope you can find comfort in Locked On Broncos. That's what I hope to bring you guys Monday through Friday, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Subscribe on iTunes. If you do that, every episode, past and present, will be archived directly into your phone device, your tablet, or your PC. Pull it open, listen to Locked On Broncos, and we'll bring you the latest objective coverage of the orange and blue. So, very excited to be here once again, Locked On Broncos, with a great fan base. I must say, the amount of love that I felt after my first episode, obviously, last night with Chad Jensen, former host of Locked On Broncos, chief and editor-in-chief over there at Mile High Huddle and host of Huddle Up Podcast. Very grateful to be in the position I am. And the amount of love that I receive from all the fans that tune in, the diehard listeners, the avid fans of Locked On Broncos, I was able to feel the love. And I actually had a few people tweet me saying I sound like the East Coast version of Adam Schefter. Oh, I appreciate that. At first, I was like, is that a compliment? But it absolutely is. I appreciate every single one of you guys. I hope I can bring you a different perspective to covering the Broncos, me being a high school football coach, a guy who played football for 12 years before retiring for tearing my ACL. I love football. I love the Broncos. Broncos ever since birth. Love covering them, and then I can bring you guys different perspectives Monday through Friday, whether it be matchups in the game between a secondary, between two defensive backs and a receiver, or a linebacker versus a tackle kind of dynamic right there. I look forward to bringing that to you. But on tonight's show, we talk about Kyle Sloter and a guy who's been very, very impressive. We talk about him, and unfortunately it was announced he wasn't going to be making the active roster. We'll talk about what that means for Kyle Sloter and the Denver Broncos going forward. And then obviously today, some news. Donald Stevenson restructured his contract with the Denver Broncos, which pretty much made it a move that where he's not going to be cut by the Denver Broncos, except he's going to restructure and he provides some insurance, some depth at the offensive line position, and we'll explain why. Also tonight, we're going to talk about Denver's tough decision coming up regarding their running backs. With the amount of depth that they have and some injuries they have there, they still have quite a few guys that can be impact players, and they're going to be unfortunately forced to make some tough decisions starting here very soon. So we're going to analyze the Broncos' depth chart at running back, who's going to be surprising, who may sneak in and steal a spot, who may get playing time, and who may be cut, you know, and be sure to provide us after the show your feedback on what you think about the Denver Broncos run game, much more. And then we're going to cover the injury report. Obviously, the Denver Broncos and a lot of teams around the NFL are banged up with injuries across the board, but the Denver Broncos are battered right now in certain areas when it comes to injuries and health-wise. We're going to talk about the latest injury report, who's back at practice, who's poised to return to practice here soon, and who's got a little bit of time to go before they can practice and step back foot on the field for the Denver Broncos. We talk about that, all that, and much more here on Locked On Broncos. So let's take the time to talk about Kyle Sloter, a guy out of UNC, University of Northern Colorado Bears, Division I football in Colorado, another Colorado guy picked up by the Denver Broncos. This guy, if you would have asked me before we had midway through training camp, what this guy would be and what he would do in Chicago and against San Francisco, I would have told you you're crazy, because I didn't really know much about Kyle Sloter, and that's on me. But I started jumping on the Kyle Sloter bandwagon a little bit, following him in camp, where he was making very impressive throws, even against the second string, third string, even the first string. It doesn't matter where you're at in the NFL right there. The fact is, you're in the NFL. You're doing something where the odds to make it in the NFL for most athletes is 1 in a million. And think about that. You have all these rosters. In preseason, you have 90-man rosters. Eventually, they got to get trimmed down. But you make that roster, and you get to play in front of thousands of fans of the opposing team in Chicago, in San Francisco, and you perform and you put on a show. That generates some excitement. And Sloter mania was running wild at the Chicago game. He came out there when he got in the reps with the Denver Broncos against the Chicago Bears week one of the preseason. He came out, and I had no expectations yet. I wanted to see if what I've been hearing in camp matched up, and it exceeded what I heard at camp. This guy came out, and he looked very comfortable running the system. And I think that the reason why is because it's nearly almost the exact same system that they ran at UNC. Kyle Sloter is no stranger to adversity. He's been able to find ways to bounce back and to find ways to get to where people told him he couldn't get. And a lot of people thought he would never get drafted, never go play on in the NFL. He came in at quarterback after the senior, during Slaughter's senior year, went down with an injury. He came in at quarterback and led them to some wins, including a very huge upset win over the University of Montana with a last-second touchdown throw. Kyle Slaughter's a gamer. And I saw week one in Chicago. One play that stood out to me about Slaughter was when he rolled out on a third down play late in the game against the Chicago Bears, and he was looking for a guy to throw, and he set his feet after rolling out. He set his feet pretty much close to the numbers on the sideline, set his feet, and threw a great ball, moved the chains, about a 13-yard gain on third and long, and moved the chains. And then they ended up scoring on D'Angelo Henderson's touchdown. This guy, just by seeing him on the field, he inspires the team around him. He inspires the players around him to just have fun and play loose, and he did just that. And I think having a guy like D'Angelo Henderson in the preseason has even helped Kyle Slaughter look pretty good. Now, unfortunately, the Denver Broncos head coach Vance Joseph announced that Kyle Slaughter probably wouldn't be made 53-man active roster because they'd only have two active quarterbacks on the roster, meaning if the opportunity was there, Kyle Slaughter would be still within the organization on the practice squad. Now, that's not a demotion. That's just a guy who's not yet ready to start in the NFL. Not quite ready, but he can develop. Now, the problem is being on practice squad, somebody could take him. And I guarantee you there are some NFL franchises that have been watching him, maybe even San Francisco right now, who has questions as to who they're going to have at quarterback. Maybe Kyle Slaughter gets picked up by one of these guys. Obviously not Chicago. Chicago's got a guy in Mitch Trubisky who I think is going to be very well. Check out Locked On Bears over there for the latest on the Chicago Bears. But Kyle Slaughter was a gamer. He went 5-6. He threw a touchdown bomb to Isaiah McKenzie, wide open, nobody around him. Obviously handed the ball off to D'Angelo Henderson on that third and long draw play. And then he just came out against San Francisco and completed all of his passes, 7-for-7, over 50 yards, and he was efficient. He's been playing efficient football, and his mechanics are overall really good. They're very consistent, and he doesn't really hesitate with his drop step, and he doesn't have a problem with looking, staring down a receiver too long. His eye placement, his drop backs, I think they're pretty crisp for a guy who's a rookie in the NFL. Now, it's unfortunate that the NFL has these roster mandates where, ideally, I do think you have to have eventually a three-quarterback roster. You should be able to have three quarterbacks active on the roster as a designation in case of an emergency, because we've seen it where a starting quarterback goes down and the backup goes down. Now, all of a sudden, they have to have the punter or some athletic, Chad Johnson type guy, a guy who's an athlete, can do everything back there at quarterback. They need to open it up to where there can be an active three-man roster. There can be, but most teams run with two, and then they make designations based on practice squad or signing a veteran or trying to make a trade when a guy gets hurt and he won't be back for the rest of the year. Stuff like that complicates things for the Denver Broncos as a whole in this situation, because I feel like Kyle Slaughter is a guy maybe you want to sit behind Trevor Siemian or a Paxton Lynch or with this coaching staff with Bill Musgrave, Mike McCoy, under Vance Joseph's leadership to develop, because he can be a player at one point. It's all about learning and getting NFL reps, going against obviously the best defense. If Kyle Slaughter makes the team on the practice squad, he gets signed there with clearing waivers, what's going to happen is he's going to challenge the no-fly zone. He's going to be a guy who's going to run the scout team offense every week against the Denver Broncos defense, give them a dynamic look at some of the passers that they have. Obviously, that right there is helpful in one facet. That's playing a major role. But, let's not forget, Kyle Slaughter can ball. And I'm very impressed with what I've seen from Slaughter in just two preseason games. Now that the quarterback competition has been announced as Trevor Siemian being the starter, Paxton Lynch will back him up. We won't see much of Kyle Slaughter, I'm guessing, in week three against Green Bay, but we may see him finish out completely, him and Paxton Lynch. Lynch may play a half, and then Kyle Slaughter may play the second half entirely against, the last preseason game of the year. That's where the tough roster cuts eventually have to be made. So unfortunately, when we think about all this, he's a great player, great young man, very, very tough-willed, and he always knows the right things to say. When he came out after the Chicago game and he played better than ideally the first two quarterbacks, the media questions started running wild, and then you had people, wondering, okay, can this guy play? Can this guy sneak in and maybe challenge for the backup quarterback spot or even the starting quarterback spot before the competition was announced? Everyone got a little ahead of themselves, but the intangibles are there for this guy to have success, so I'm very excited about that. So he was informed he won't make the 53-man, active roster, but he does have the potential to sign on to the practice squad, and he's performed really well in preseason. What are your thoughts on Kyle Slaughter? Be sure after this episode, send me a tweet at Locked On Broncos or at Cody Rourke NFL. I want to hear your thoughts on the impressive rookie out of University of Northern Colorado. be sure to tune in. Also, head over to iTunes right now if you have a moment, if you haven't done it already, and click subscribe on the Locked On Denver Broncos podcast. We're very excited to bring you episodes daily, Monday through Friday, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time, all things Denver Broncos. Before we get to our other topics tonight, I just wanted to give all listeners a quick reminder to make sure you head over to Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL and subscribe for all of your national NFL news on the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, during this season, we'll be joining Locked On Broncos and Locked On Chiefs during Rivalry Week to break down the matchup between the Broncos Raiders and Broncos Chiefs. All of that here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, also, the news broke regarding Donald Stevenson that him and the Denver Broncos were working on restructuring his contract that will make it a lot more affordable for the Denver Broncos to have him on the roster, which means the likelihood of Denver cutting Stevenson probably diminishes quite a bit. Now, they're restructuring his contract from $4 million in guaranteed money to $2 million of a guaranteed salary, and there'll also be $2 million more paid if he does make the 53-man roster. But when I look at it, I see Donald Stevenson being a guy who you kind of look at as an insurance policy. Obviously, with Malik Watson's injury history, and last year the Denver Broncos offensive line was battered with injuries, you never know who could go down. Donald Stevenson might be the safest bet right now in the event that a guy gets injured. He can step in. He can also play guard and tackle because he's versatile enough, in a sense, for a big man, where he can provide some depth for them if a guy goes down, which obviously that makes Donald Stevenson a little bit expendable. But the great news for the Denver Broncos is he's affordable. Now, he struggled last year in Gary Kubiak's zone blocking scheme and got beat quite a bit. But under Mike McCoy's system, I feel like it'll take the pressure off of him quite a bit in order to make, you know, plays, you know, last a little longer than they did last year. You know, the thing was, is Donald Stevenson was quick. He didn't really have much help off the edge, especially going up against guys like Justin Houston, Khalil Mack, Bruce Irvin. They had a lot of guys, and they really attacked Donald Stevenson last year because the Gary Kubiak offense, unfortunately, was very predictable for a lot of NFL defenses. But, you know, the good thing is with Donald Stevenson is, like I said, he's an insurance policy. He's a depth guy. You need depth right now. Obviously, it looks a little likely that Tyson Brailo may be on his way out the door in Denver after being drafted as a rookie, being brought in, getting hurt his rookie year, and really not living up to the expectations that John Elway and the team drafted him to be. Despite looking pretty solid his rookie year, he hasn't ever looked the same since he was injured against the Detroit Lions back on Sunday Night Football in 2015. Peyton Manning's final year, Super Bowl 50 champions, he was unable to perform out there on the field due to that injury, and he's been bothered by it ever since. So, you know, that's good news with Donald Stevenson. You know, for him, that's great news for him, being, you know, still remaining on a roster. It's not guaranteed he stays on the roster, but it just makes the likelihood of the move a little more revealing that he maybe has a good chance to, you know, not be cut and still remain on the team at little to no cost for the Denver Broncos. So that's good news. Now, on the other front, we got to look at the running back position for the Denver Broncos, and obviously the offensive line plays a major role in that. But the Denver Broncos have a good and a bad problem, and that's all the depth that they have at running back right now. When you look at it, you got Devontae Booker, who's injured right now, had surgery on his wrist. You have C.J. Anderson, who's had a history of being injured, you know, is coming off knee surgery from last year. You have Jamaal Charles, who hasn't played yet in the preseason, who also had a knee surgery last year after being rushed back by the Kansas City Chiefs. They had to shut him down. They released him, and then he signed with the Denver Broncos. The good news is you have a guy like D'Angelo Henderson, guy out of Coastal Carolina you brought in, a guy that Chad Jensen, Eric Trickle over at Mile High Huddle, who sung high praises about, as well as most of Broncos country, who has fallen in love with Hop Henderson, a guy who has a lot of heart, and he's the Energizer Bunny, in my opinion. So Hop is the Energizer Bunny. I do believe he's an automatic lock for the roster spot. And then you got a guy like Stevon Ridley, who also has a lot to prove, you know, obviously being tearing his ACL a while ago and getting cut from the Patriots and then trying to find his way in the NFL. And right now he's got that chance with the Denver Broncos. He hasn't looked bad in preseason. He's looked actually pretty consistent, you know, in my opinion, for the Denver Broncos. Obviously, against the San Francisco 49ers, I don't think he really got a good audition, you know, with the offensive line being what it was, the third string offensive line. You know, they didn't have a lot of chemistry out there, it appeared. But Stevon Ridley showed some flashes of explosiveness. So that makes it very difficult for the Denver Broncos as a coaching staff going forward. And the problem is that they have too many running backs. You can't keep them all, unfortunately. Obviously, I think the Denver Broncos will keep six receivers. But the issue at hand is you have too many running backs and you can't get them all on the field at the same time. So my question to you is, who's a lock and who is on the bubble? I want you to tweet me after the show. Tweet me who you think is going to stay within the Denver Broncos organization at running back and who are the odd men out in Denver, unfortunately. I do see D'Angelo Henderson, like I said earlier. I think his roster spot is locked. He's played well enough as a rookie in two games to show enough to even get some reps with the ones that he's been doing. He's a guy that's going to be on this roster for quite some time, and he's a very special player. Now, we look at C.J. Anderson, who obviously is the incumbent starter from last year. Obviously, he got hurt, and as soon as he hurt, the run game sputtered for the Denver Broncos last year. Devontae Booker, rookie last year, had his own struggles and was banged up last year. He turned it on against the Oakland Raiders week 17 of the 2016 season when the Denver Broncos won 24-6. That performance right there was what we wanted to see from Devontae Booker. And this offense with Mike McCoy kind of suits Devontae Booker a lot more than Gary Kubiak's offense did, because it's very similar to what he ran at Utah. So that's good news, you know, for Devontae Booker. You know, the unfortunate thing about him is he's injured. He hasn't been able to play in preseason. The likelihood of him playing in preseason is not very likely. And he also might be questionable for the start of the regular season. So with that, obviously you have roster designation moves due to injury. I do think, however, Jamaal Charles and Stevon Ridley are the two guys that I think are going to be battling out for a roster spot. And why it's hard for me to actually process why Jamaal Charles would have to battle for a roster spot, given that the Broncos have eased him in through training camp and haven't played him week one or week two of preseason, even though he was cleared. He's been cleared. He's been going hard in practice. They want to ease him in. So from the sound of it, from the media, from what I've heard from Vance Joseph, is he'll get a chance to audition himself this Saturday against the Green Bay Packers. He'll play quite a bit in that. Now, you got to wonder, if he doesn't play that well after not playing in a game for about a year and a half, what do you do? Is he a guy that you cut, or is he a guy you keep on the roster no matter what? Because he's a veteran, he's proven himself, and he has the ability to help your football team win games, especially out of the backfield, catching the ball on third down, where he led the league a couple years ago, and picking up first downs out of the backfield. Third down conversion rate and his yards after the catch were unbelievable. It's just a very hard thing for the Denver Broncos right now as a coaching staff. And if I'm John Elway, I'm sitting there scratching my head like, we have some good players, but we can't keep them all. So what do? You don't put a guy like that on the practice squad, Stevon Ridley or any of those guys. Unfortunately, a guy I have very high praise for, Juwan Thompson, appears to be the odd man out in the Denver Broncos run game unless he moves to fullback. But you got Andy Yanovich, who they don't really utilize a fullback in this offense too much. But for Yanovich, they're going to do some things with him that are going to make him a little versatile. So Juwan Thompson, in my opinion, I think, you know, unfortunately, he will leave the Denver Broncos, but he will find a home very quickly in the NFL. I think, you know, maybe Stevon Ridley might be another odd man out, depending on this week in preseason and obviously week four. We just got to see what, you know, these running backs bring to the table. But other than that, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for the Denver Broncos to kind of have a little of a audition this upcoming weekend against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. They come to town for week three of the preseason. Von Miller's going to play a little bit. That's good news. Hopefully you don't have to play him too much. Play him a series or two. Get him out. Don't risk an injury before the regular season starter against the Los Angeles Chargers in Denver on Monday Night Football. You can't afford that. Obviously, with all the injuries that the Denver Broncos currently have right now, you cannot risk losing any impact player to injury right now. So with that, we're going to read off the injury report. Obviously, these are some guys that returned to practice this week, and that's T.J. Ward, Cody Latimer, DeMarcus Walker, and Shaquille Barrett. Obviously, we talked about that yesterday, but T.J. Ward's hamstring has been bothering him. He returned to practice lightly. Same with Cody Latimer on his left knee, and DeMarcus Walker tweaked his hip a little bit. He's starting to return to practice. Jared Krick, thought to be out with some back spasms. He's easing himself back into the process. Not quite practicing yet, but obviously we got Carlos Henderson out with a thumb injury after surgery. Derek Wolf out with a gnarly ankle injury. Obviously, Shane Ray had surgery on his wrist, so he'll be out. Probably won't be ready till maybe week three of the regular season. And Devontae Booker out as well with a similar wrist injury. We may not see him until week three of the regular season as well. So this is your host, Cody Rourke, with Locked On Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Episode 2 with you guys, the start of a new era here at Locked On Broncos. I'm very excited to be here with you guys. Like I said in the beginning of the show, you guys make the show what it is. I'm very grateful to be having an avid fan base of listeners who love the Denver Broncos at all costs. So I hope I can bring you the magic that you desire, that mile-high magic that we experienced when Tim Tebow connected with Demaryius Thomas in overtime, 88-yard slant route, good night, goodbye Pittsburgh, and then obviously Von Miller Super Bowl 50, that magic, that mile-high magic. I hope you feel the same thing with me as you did them, because I love the Denver Broncos and I love you fans. So thank you for listening. This is your host, Cody Rourke. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, and obviously follow Locked On Broncos on Twitter at Locked On Broncos, and subscribe to the show. Go to iTunes, click on subscribe if you haven't haven't already. If you've subscribed, please leave a review. Give us your feedback. Tweet us. If you want to be on the show to talk some Broncos, reach out. We'd love to have a diehard fan. I want to do it every week where I have a diehard fan on the show to talk Broncos, as well as we're going to have some major guests, some former NFL players, former Denver Broncos on the show as well in the coming episodes of the future. This is Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos.